Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Sasha Adi, host of the PCOS Challenge radio show, designed to help women overcome polycystic ovarian syndrome, a hormonal and reproductive disorder that affects 1 in 10 women of childbearing age. We'll be bringing you the best information on fertility, hirsutism, weight loss, nutrition, mental health, and other conditions surrounding PCOS. The goal of the PCOS Challenge is to inspire and motivate you to make positive changes in your life. So tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. This is Sasha Adi. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge. Hello, everybody. This is Sasha Adi. Welcome to the PCOS Challenge radio show. And today we have a special guest, Dr. O. Dr. O is a certified nutritionist in the Washington, D.C. area, and he'll speak with us today about nutrition and childhood obesity and the importance of the good role that nutrition plays in maintaining healthy bodies and overcoming PCOS. Dr. O, welcome.
Thank you very much, Sasha.
Okay, could you just tell us a little about you and what you do in the D.C. area as a nutritionist?
Sure. First of all, Sasha, thank you for the opportunity to share some information. I really want to get to the young individuals out there that recently diagnosed with PCOS to kind of give them some information, some support, give them some direction on, you know, what to expect. How can you gain control of PCOS and what does it really mean? A little bit about my background. I am a certified nutrition specialist, as you said in the beginning, and I work for this gym in the Washington, D.C. metro area. This gym has over 12,000 members. 12,000 members, and I'm the only nutritionist at this particular facility.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's like I get a whole bunch of, I see maybe 10 to 20 people per week, and I've been doing this thing for a number of years now to where it's like the types of diseases, conditions, or syndromes, they're just all over the board. In addition, I'm training people that are preparing for the 2012 Olympics, all the way to folks, ex-professional baseball players. So it's
okay.
Like from young people to older people to the very old. I mean, there's so many different ways, and that's why I'm so passionate about nutrition. It's because it's relevant to everyone. We eat 7 days a week.
this is true. And nutrition plays a big part in preventative medicine, you know, in preventing illnesses and syndromes such as PCOS. Preventing and, you know, maintaining proper health is probably one of the best ways we can overcome and, you know, eradicate our bodies of these syndromes. Okay, but thank you very much for being on the show today. I know today we wanted to focus on childhood obesity and how it's associated with PCOS.
That's correct.
Yeah, so what's the most prevalent consequence, do you think, of childhood obesity?
Well, as I was preparing for this particular presentation, it's like it took me all the way back to my childhood. And in school, it's like you become part of different groups. You start to discriminate against people who are fat, who are overweight, people who are light-skinned, dark-skinned. It's like you're caught in this whole system or culture where everyone is emotionally connected in some shape, form, or fashion. And the reason why I want to bring this up is because PCOS, most young people, when they start to discover changes in their bodies, it's like they can't do anything about it. And they get confused. And if they had some information, an outlet like the PCOS Challenge website, where all this information can come into one central location, where there's different ways of looking at this particular issue and helping to resolve it as a community. That's the most important thing. And while these young people are developing, okay, and while they become discriminated because they're a little bit overweight, it's like you feel like you can't do anything about it. But I want everyone out there to know you can do something about it. It's like you've got to do something about it. Either you're going to fight and stand up and do something to change the situation, to control the situation, to manage the situation, because eventually there's something in the nutrition world where it says a child that is overweight or obese tends to be overweight and obese as an adult. How can we address that issue while they're young?
Right. And I imagine that many of these children and, you know, they're discriminated against by their peers, and this would probably lead to them becoming depressed, you know, and overeat, and then therefore they'll lack the motivation to participate in activities. So,
well,
you know, this will definitely be snowball into, you know, a greater problem. You know, you become more obese and eat the wrong foods due to depression, you know, eat comfort foods. So, yeah, I'm glad you're willing to bring this up, because it stemmed, you know, for lots of women with PCOS, this probably began in their preteens or their teens. You know, I think research suggests that women with PCOS probably started developing this syndrome at an earlier age than we knew before. So,
right.
Yeah. So, how can parents help? You know, how can the family help children who are obese to overcome this condition?
Well, that's an awesome question, and there are a few things. Let's count the ways. As a parent, you're responsible for your child, and based on your level of understanding, you're going to teach your child what you know. For example, when it specifically talks about food, the food selection that you make in the grocery store, when you bring that food home, it's in your house. Your kids are going to want something to eat. If you did not make a good decision in the grocery store, you cannot expect the outcomes in your home to be any different.
Okay.
The second way, the food habits. We all have certain habits and behaviors. And as a young person, we kind of assimilate, you know, the apple does not fall far from the tree. And so the food choices that your parents instill in you, you tend to carry those behaviors into the future.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And next, purchasing foods. It's like we always look for the name brand. And sometimes the name brands are the most destructive foods that we can select.
Yeah, so I'm sorry, Dr. O. I'm guessing you're suggesting that that parents pay attention to the nutritional facts of the food that they select in the store.
That is correct. They need to be very, very in tune to high sugar foods, foods with high fat, high sodium. I mean, those are easy selections. You can make, it's an easy choice to just turn the labels over. It's almost effortless. Most folks, you see them in the grocery stores reading the food labels, and then stay away from the processed foods. Be more natural. Use the perimeter of the grocery store.
Definitely. Okay, so what about when we do take that food home, you know, and prepare the food? Because I know I come from a Jamaican background, and boy, we used to use a lot of seasonings and, you know, fry a lot of things. You know, and this is probably, you know, traditional foods. So how can parents, you know, adjust the way they prepare the food so that, you know, it's better for the children's consumption?
Excellent question. One thing about traditional foods, the traditional foods that we eat are from many different cultures, and we want to keep in the tradition. But guess what? When we take a really close look at the traditional foods, they are high in fat sometimes. And sometimes they're excessive in sugar or salt or sodium. I mean, it's like you want to capture the essence of the food, and sometimes you may need to talk to a nutritionist to help modify the recipe. And in addition to that, one thing about the traditional foods, as you know, I'm Jamaican as well. And I love my curry, and I love my jerk. And let me tell you what, and when I eat traditional foods, I tend to overeat a little bit. And so the serving sizes, yeah, you can have cultural food, but be careful with the serving size.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, this stems from not only Caribbean food or African food. Most cultures, the cultures are surrounded by food. So when you get together, you're getting together around a dinner table or, you know, lunch table. And there's probably an abundance of food. Not only should we be careful of the way we prepare our foods, but also we should practice portion control.
Excellent. That is correct.
Okay, thank you. We're talking to Dr. O, certified nutritionist, and actually I invited Dr. O to set up a profile, you know, so he could become one of our nutrition experts on the PCOSChallenge.com website. So I'm sure he'll be doing that soon, and we can direct questions to him in that
I'll
fashion.
I'll do that tonight. Thank you.
Okay, good. So you work at a gym as a nutritionist.
That's correct.
Come to think about it, when I joined the gym, I don't remember having access to nutritionists. They'd always push the personal trainer, but I don't remember having access to a nutritionist. And it just makes sense to have that guidance there while you're, you know, it's a total body transformation that we're seeking, and I feel like nutrition is probably the baseline of total body transformation. So, I commend the work that you are doing.
Yes. One thing I want to say about this particular weight loss or weight management is that with diet and exercise, you're 89% more likely to lose 30 pounds or more and keep it off longer than a year. Now, with diet alone, you're 10% likely to keep the weight off 30 pounds or more over a year.
You said 10%?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, significantly lower. In addition, just exercise alone with no diet, you're 1% likely to keep 30 pounds off for a year or longer. Isn't that crazy?
That is incredible. Because I know a lot of people, they will exercise alone or diet alone and wonder why, you know, they're not getting the appropriate results. You know, myself
right.
included, I'll go on a diet. I tried, you know, some of the diets out there, and it didn't work. It may have worked temporarily, but there was no real long-term effect.
That's right. Well, let me just explain something that I understand now about weight loss. And talking to the young people out there in your listening audience, there's something called resting metabolic rate. And this is just a test. That's all it is. You can get it at your doctor's office or at a local gym or a hospital. It's something called resting metabolic rate. And what that is, if I sit down all day without falling asleep, all day I will burn a certain amount of calories. And that amount is called the resting metabolic rate. And for me, it's 1,947 calories. Just resting. As long as I don't fall asleep, I'm going to burn 1,947 calories. Now, as a nutritionist, why is this important? If I eat below that amount, 1,947 calories, guess what? I'm telling my body it's in starvation mode. It's not going to hold on to the fat cells. You're not going to lose weight. You're starving yourself. And if there's any dietary plan that's out there, and they have like 1,200 calorie diet, you lose weight, but guess what? You can't maintain that because your body wants food just
yes.
to relax and live throughout the day.
Yeah, so you're saying that we should probably adjust our dietary intake in response to what our metabolic rate is?
That is exactly right. as a nutritionist, there are a lot of standards out there. Using your resting metabolic rate, okay, multiply that number by 1.15. That's the standard. Go to google.com and put 1.15 RMR, and it will show you different formulas to determine how to adjust your dietary intake. In addition to adjusting your dietary intake, just remember it's going to be slightly above your resting metabolic rate. As long as you're above the resting metabolic rate and you're eating small and frequent meals throughout the day, okay? Why do you want to eat small and frequent meals throughout the day? It's because you want your metabolism to work for you, okay? Every day your metabolism ramps up to about 1 o'clock, and then it starts to decrease. It starts to go down. And if you eat after 7 p.m. in the evening, guess what? You're eating on a system that has already shut down. Your metabolism is done for the day. And so that food just sits on your stomach throughout the night until the next day when it's time for your metabolism to work for you again.
Oh, wow. I think a lot of people, they just eat without really thinking about what it is that, you know, the food is doing for them. They don't really think about the way that this can affect them. Now, I've been hearing a lot about eating small, frequent meals throughout the day. What about people who are at work throughout the day and they're not able to, you know, to eat small food, 6 meals per day? How can they adjust that? Are you saying that the 1 big meal or 2 big meals is wrong, is the wrong way to go about your nutrition?
Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. For example, if you get up 6:30 in the morning and you have breakfast around 7 a.m., okay, and you don't have breakfast lunch until 4, 5, 6 hours later, guess what? That whole time, your temperature, body temperature is going down, okay? And then what happens 5 or 6, 7 hours later? You tend to what? When you sit down for lunch, you tend to overeat. That's like going to the grocery store on an empty stomach. You tend to overshop.
Not a good idea at all. Okay, so what about rest and water?
Excellent.
How important is this for us to take in throughout the day?
Well, there's a lot of literature about water intake, and there's a lot of literature about rest. It's like if you don't consume enough water, you're not helping your body to replenish itself throughout the day. You know, there's some folks that suffer from dehydration. And there's no way that your body can effectively circulate the nutrients that it needs throughout the body. You need to flush out some of the toxins. How do you flush out the toxins in your body without that fresh, pure glass of water? It's very important. And then rest. It's been shown over and over that if you are not getting enough rest, you cannot have the energy that's needed and required to push yourself to go to the gym. When it's in the evening time, after Thanksgiving, you know, it's the holiday season. I mean, what's going to give you the energy you need to go work out? You got to get your rest.
Yeah, definitely. You know, a lot of women with PCOS suffer from fatigue, you know, and I believe that probably if they take the time to rest during the day, that could probably help. This is just my opinion. That could probably help with the fatigue. You will not be that fatigued throughout the day. However, there are problems that some of us face that will probably prevent us from getting the appropriate sleep. However,
right,
we should probably try as much as we can to take in all that, the rest that's necessary.
That's correct. One thing about that is about time management, okay? And one thing about what are young people doing these days? Guess what they're doing? They're taking energy supplements like 5-hour energy, 6-hour energy. I mean, what is that all about?
Yeah, doesn't that have adverse effects on your heart as well?
It overstimulates you. It overstimulates you in many different ways. Your hormones are already going here and going there, going here, going there, and now you're adding high caffeine in there. What is that all about?
Yeah.
It's not good.
If anything,
whenever your body is in flux like that, and I always tell people, don't make a decision on your life about what you need to do when you're so high up on caffeine or when you're low. Like in PCOS, there are some people that suffer from depression. And what I tell them is, don't make a life decision while you're depressed, you're too low, or you're too high. So you got to be very careful to moderate your diet. Try a variety of different foods. And you don't have to have a heavy protein or meat-based diet. Get into nutrition. Get into diet. Enjoy what you're doing. This is your livelihood.
Definitely. Well, Dr. O, we have 10 minutes more in the show, and I wanted to go over for the rest of the 10 minutes. Well, first I wanted to remind people that you're listening to Dr. O with Sasha Ati on the PCOS Challenge radio show, and to go to the PCOSChallenge.com website so you can share your story as a woman with PCOS, help your loved one if you're a supporter of people with PCOS. Just go to the support group, www.PCOSChallenge.com. Now, we're talking with Dr. O, and I'm thinking we need to go over exercise, diet and exercise in combination. How do we increase our metabolism?
Okay, excellent. I'm glad we're going to address this issue again, because this metabolism thing, what is metabolism? It's like whenever you eat food, that food is broken down in your body. It's broken down into the nutrient, at the nutrient level. And something happens in the body. There's a lot of things that happens in the body. A part of my dissertation was to look at dietary phytate. Phytate is something that's in fiber. It acts as a claw. It grabs onto nutrients in the body, inside the colon, and then it removes it from the body. Whenever you have a high concentration of phytate or fiber, sometimes it makes certain individuals mineral deficient, and thus it lowers your immune system. So it's like too much fiber is not good, but how much is enough? What I want to see in the PCOS Challenge website is I want folks from around the world to share their best practices. What is working for you? Post it on the website. Let's pull all this information together and design a protocol for young people. Why not?
Yeah, that's important. That's very important. And because we, like I said before, people with PCOS probably started young. And I believe that most illnesses are because of how we treated our bodies, you know, from the time we were young. So I think it's time for us to really think about how we're treating our bodies, how we're treating our children's bodies, so as to prevent these types of conditions.
That's correct. And one thing I would like to say about diet and exercise is that while you're young, try to build a foundation, an exercise foundation, good habits, a certain lifestyle that is healthy. Another thing, communicate with your parents how you're feeling. You have to really, don't hold it in. Don't become an introvert like I was when I was younger. I was real quiet, you know, the cute little guy in the corner, just quiet and taking everything in. Whenever you're hit with something like this, a life-changing event, you want to be able to start to reach out to people. If it's not your parent, reach out to a neighbor, reach out to a teacher, and let folks know how you're feeling and get support, get help. This thing is a family involvement. It's the whole entire family is affected, whether they know or not.
Oh, yes. PCOS does not simply affect the women with the condition. It affects their families. It affects their friends. If you think about it, 1 in 10 women, or probably more, you know, because a lot of people with PCOS aren't diagnosed. This affects, I'm sure, Dr. Oh, you know people with PCOS. I know, you know, everyone most likely knows someone with PCOS. So, yeah, if we you know, start a revolution, you know, transform our lives and start from where young, we could probably prevent a lot of these conditions like PCOS from affecting our lives.
That's exactly right.
Okay, so Dr. Oh, what should we eat? You know, we can't eat too much fiber. We can't eat too much sugar, too much salt, sodium. What should we eat?
Thank you for the question. There are a number of things where we can eat. You want to kind of limit certain things in certain areas. You want to have a nice foundation as far as protein is concerned. Sometimes you don't have to eat. You could be a protein shake. You also want to vary your vegetables. You want to encourage vegetable intake. The parents need to encourage vegetable intake. And then fruit. Get it, especially since the growing season is now coming to an end, there's fruits coming from around the world. We can always have access to certain types of food as far as fruits and vegetables from all over different countries. In addition, fish. Fish is a very interesting, nutrient-dense meal, and it's light, and it, we don't want you to feel heavy or bogged down with heavy meat like red meat or something like that. Don't want to get too far over into that. But fish contains something that's called omega-3 and omega-6 fatty acids. Those things are very, very important. When you're talking about cholesterol level, when you're talking about lowering the risk of cardiovascular disease, all these things are important.
Yeah, so I'm guessing I hear a lot about omega fatty acids. So I guess that would be the good fats.
That's right. Those are good.
And because I know of the Mediterranean diet, and they use a lot of olive oil, and I heard that olive oil has omega fatty acids. Is that correct?
That's correct. That's correct. But let me tell you something. There's in the media, you can look on the television, the radio, and print ad. There's always conflicting stories, conflicting messages. Right
always.
Now, I'm as part of your website, it's like a central location where we can start concentrating protocols, dietary protocols, exercise protocols that are working for people. And let's consolidate it and then publish this in some kind of shape, form, or fashion. We can change the lives of individuals. We can eliminate certain disparities by, now, just imagine that small child. If that child grows and has no awareness of the importance of taking control of building a foundation, a physical foundation, as far as physical fitness, moving, exercising, it's going, once they become, the syndrome just starts to expand into secondary diseases, it's too late.
Yes.
We don't need to have that level of just being unaware.
Yeah, Dr. Oh, we have to wrap up soon, and this is great information, so I'd like for my listeners to be able to contact you if they wish. So could you give us your contact information?
Sure. You can go to my website, www.drodixon.com, or you can email me at drodixon.com.
Okay, thank you very much, Dr. O. And you're listening to Dr. O and Sasha Ati on the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Thank you very much for listening, and you just got Dr. O's contact information. If you need to learn more about nutrition and how to best use nutrition to maintain proper fitness and proper nutrition for your body, contact Dr. O, and he'll probably have a profile on the PCOSChallenge.com website. Thank you very much.
God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the PCOS Challenge Radio Show. Tune in regularly to get insights from leading experts and the support you need. Also, be sure to join our social network at PCOSChallenge.com and sign up for our newsletter. This is Sasha Ati. Help spread the word and take the PCOS Challenge.